Welcome to CWC Dive Deep, where we take a deeper look into this past week's message, discussing how we can actively pursue God and grow in our faith. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, the Spiritual Formation Director here at CWC with Pastor Arley. Welcome, Pastor Arley.
Thank you, Caleb. Good to be here.
Glad to have you today. And in your last sermon, Thanks Living, we explored the benefits of being thankful.
Sure did.
And grateful personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, what spoke the most to you?
Probably, I'm always amazed at how much God has in our original design that really is really reinforced by contemporary studies that find, oh yeah, if you do these things, you're going to get the maximum efficiency in life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, like I had a man come up to me on Sunday and he said, I've just never connected these dots before. I've never heard this or thought about it, but like it makes sense. And I said, well, yeah, it really does. And it's so much that when you start to try to find out what does God's word tell you to do, and if you do it, what are the results? Hmm. And the results are just like the best possible life that you could experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I just love that. I love seeing how God's word really brings us the maximum life that we can possibly have. And I guess if more people could understand that, they would understand how and why the commandments are given and why scripture is written as it is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as you went over the benefits of gratefulness, mm-hmm. I mean, if someone could bottle that up, put it in a pill and sell it,
yeah.
they'd be billionaires.
Absolutely.
Be the best selling medication in the world.
Possible. Yes. And probably people would much rather have a pill than they would actually go through the work.
Right. I mean, who wants to do work when we can have it like that?
Instantly. Yes.
Yeah. But I think you're right about that. And I wonder if that's why some people get so discouraged or never fully experience the fullness of life that's intended.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stick with it and put the work in.
Right. I don't think they are even realizing, they're not connecting the dots in that sense, but realizing the effort that I'm going to put forth is going to bring such incredible results.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I don't think it's a matter of them willfully choosing not to go through with mm-hmm. it, but really mm-hmm. just a matter of it. It looks very intimidating to change how you live life.
And I think people get so busy with life and so busy with circumstances and situations that we lose sight of things that we need to, like, okay, let's pull this back into focus. Let's keep that
right
where it needs to be.
Or it feels like you're juggling so many things that to try and change, mm-hmm. you know, an aspect of your life, mm-hmm. Which, you know, as you talk about gratefulness, to
right.
change how grateful I am, that's not just a matter of, you know, one practice a day that I'm going to add in. I mean, that's literally rewiring how you think about the world.
It's refocusing. Sure, sure, totally.
And so I think if people really get that, that seems like just this huge right. boulder they have to push.
Right, right. And so I think that just trying to, I mean, we can add one small thing. I think the issue is, as we go through our day or whatever, if you can just tell me one thing I can add to it mm. with that's not going to take me off track or make me go in a different direction or have to do too much different, because our lives are full.
Mm.
Like reality is we're very full and I don't really have time or ability to do any more.
Yeah.
And so what we have to do has to be a matter of how can I use that in my present day today activity.
Right. Yeah. Because the reality is to change everything right. about you all at once is just not successful. We know that from the fitness world.
Sure.
I mean, you can't
Absolutely.
Just totally yeah. change your whole lifestyle
right.
trying to lose weight. If you're successful, you'll yo-yo.
Right. Right.
And if you're not successful, then you feel even worse about yourself.
So just that whole idea of really becoming grateful, like if you're a sour personality, very negative kind of person,
mm-hmm.
You don't just instantly become positive, that's for sure.
Right.
But you can start incorporating small things into your daily routines that help remind you to be grateful.
Right. I'm curious, as you say that, what are some daily or weekly things that you've incorporated over the years? Maybe what are you doing right now?
Sure.
To be thankful or grateful.
I think that I tend to be a more optimistic personality. Mm-hmm. So it comes a little bit more naturally for me. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to, I'd like to say it's because I work so hard and I do all these disciplined things that make this happen. So then you would really admire me. But when I say there's a big part of me that's just is positive and wants to be that way and then consciously makes choices to grow in that. Mm-hmm. I think that's all part of the whole journey. Some of the experiences that I've had, I think, have been probably some of the greatest motivators. Mission work has been an incredible motivator for me to be able to see firsthand how much people don't have, and yet they seem to be pretty content with life. And so I think for, even approaching the Christmas season, I can remember with my kids and when they were small, and I would say, okay, we are going to open our Christmas presents in just a little bit. But before we do, let me tell you a few things. And I would say, we need to make sure we're grateful for everything we receive. And if anybody says, is that all there is? We're taking them all back and you're not going to have anything. Now, I never had to put that to the test. But I just wanted them to be grateful kids. Yeah. I wanted them to grow up being grateful.
Yeah.
And even taking my kids on mission trips and helping them to be able to see what the rest of the world lives like. Mm-hmm. I think it helped them really understand the importance of gratitude and how blessed we are as a people in our world. I was just reading some statistics and it said 1 out of 9 don't have any access to safe water. So if you look at that in the world, you think, wow, there's some huge populations that have no access. 1 out of 3 have no safe access to toilets.
Mm.
1 out of 3.
Right.
So you look at these, 800 million people who are doing without, and we have everything so incredibly accessible to us, and we're so blessed and fortunate. So sometimes it just takes the realization, wow, we do have a lot. We are fortunate, to help people to really start to clue into what's in our world and what we have. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I've tried to express that to other people. I've tried to write notes. I've gone through all those cycles and probably those last 10 things that we said, here's some ways that you can be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to make that my personal focus as well and tried to, implement those things. And the more I do, the more, greater contentment I have in my own self and what we have. Because I tend to be one who likes to kind of what's the newest?
Yeah.
I tend to be that person, wanting a gadget or wanting something.
Sure.
And seeing those infomercials and going, we need that. How do I ever live without it? And so, I know that's part. So I have to come back to the point of reminding myself and walking myself through the process.
Mm-hmm. And as I'm hearing you, it's so much about perspective and reshaping our perspective of
Absolutely.
What we have.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what, in your experience over your lifetime, do you remember a point where someone expressed thanks to you that really left a mark or really shaped your perspective?
I think probably some of the greatest appreciation I have for things that have been grateful or gratitude, when people express that, I think that just making sure that you do it in a specific way.
Yeah.
I think when you express thanks, we kind of always raised our kids to write thank you notes.
Mm-hmm.
we didn't do them for them. We let them do them, but we gave them direction on how to. We didn't just say, just write a thank you. We said, here, write a thank you for the specific thing. How is it going to be used in your life? And why are you grateful? And so we kind of gave some specific direction to it. And in so doing, we still hear from people that say, your kids write great thank you notes. And I said, and that was, my wife was really diligent on making sure that, you know, that whole thing. Adrian was 5 or 6, I can remember. And she got a whole bunch of gifts for her birthday. And then one came that was afterwards. And she looked at it and she went, another thank you note. She was only like 6.
Right, yeah.
But we, like, we were really diligent about making sure that happened. So I guess I've been grateful. My kids are grateful, even as adults. I see that in them. And they want to reach out and help other people and make that difference. So I guess when things come in my world, when people say, this had this impact, not just great job or that was nice or whatever, but they specifically say how it benefited. Those are like really significant things in my own world. And I know they help make a big difference for me.
Yeah, I know. Two thoughts. One with the whole children and raising them to be thankful. I mean, we're at the point now where Anna can say, you know, maybe 30 or 40 words.
Sure.
And so one of the ones that always just kind of warms my heart is when she tells someone thank you without us prompting her to do that. And I'm sure Sharon was probably very diligent. You were probably very diligent with that from a young age. So that's, you know, that's something so, so small, so subtle, so simple that we can really help to shape our children's perspective and young ones. Even if you're not a parent, you have a responsibility to help teach that thankfulness to little ones.
Because there's such an entitlement society that we live in.
Right.
I mean, things are expected and I'm entitled to this rather than I'm grateful for all that I have.
Yeah.
So I think probably looking into our own personal journeys, I'm grateful for all that I have and what God has done.
Right. And then when you said about people specifically thanking or being very specific about what they're thankful for that you've done, I know as I reflect back on some of the thank you notes that I've saved, what left the biggest impression was people would write about a very specific thing they were thankful for, saw me do that I didn't think anybody was watching.
It
just, you know, really reaffirms when you take that extra mile and go and you know, go above and beyond, or just the simple small things that somebody is noticing. And that, you know, that's really encouraging, I think.
I think those are really vital pieces to helping us all kind of be refocusing on what we have.
Yeah. And I think it would be so easy to feel guilty about what we're not doing or not being thankful for. But I don't think that was the heart of your message. It was not, I don't think it was intended to guilt anyone.
No.
But why do they seem to go hand in hand, guilt and self-criticism, when we become aware of how we can grow?
Well, I think that's a matter of helping people to see growth differently. You know, I mean, we all need to grow.
Yeah.
And so if we realize when I suddenly am aware of a new area in my life, rather than feeling guilty, I should actually be grateful. It was always there. Now I see it. So now I can do something about it. So I think if you can help people to kind of set a new paradigm in how they view things, I think that helps it. As well as, you know, setting a new paradigm for like being grateful for what I have rather than frustrated with what I don't have.
And I'm also curious, at the very beginning of the message, this just kind of flashed into my memory, you had said that we don't break the commands, they break us. Can you just kind of unpack that a little bit more?
Well, I think the whole aspect of how God has designed us, he's created the commandments and his word to give us maximum life. And so when we choose not to follow them, they end up breaking us rather than we breaking them, because that's, I'm not going to have maximum life. I'm not going to have what God has intended. And so instead of seeing God limiting our freedoms, he's actually expanding those and giving us a greater freedom. And that's why, you know, the scripture says the truth will set you free. And the whole aspect is the more I'm aware of what God's word is and his truth, the greater freedom that I can have in my life. Mm-hmm. And so the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that are given to us are really to help us experience that. So when I don't steal, I am creating a safer relationship with the people that are around me, and they feel safe with me. When I'm not jealous, then I create a safer environment for people to be able to relate to me. And like, there's so many aspects that the more that I follow those, the greater my, you know, whole aspect of what I experience in life is really there. And so, you know, so it, rather than see it as a limitation, see it as an expression of greater freedom.
I see.
God can be able to use those to help us.
Gotcha. And what challenge might you want to leave listeners with this week?
I guess more specifically toward the season, figure out how we can maintain a grateful spirit as we walk through the next 25 days toward Christmas. I really feel that if we can help do that, I think we can change our own small worlds. And they all intersect. So I think we can try, you know, make a bigger difference in the world that is around us.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Pastor Arley.
Yeah.
And thank you for joining us today on CWC Dive Deep. I hope you were challenged and encouraged to grow in your faith. Join us next Monday as we begin discussing our Christmas series, Down to Earth. And Pastor Arley, maybe you'd like to give a little sneak peek to the listeners.
Sure. It's called Down to Earth, an all-star cast, and I'm really going to be doing some research on each of the primary characters that are a part. So I'm starting with the angels, and so I'm going to talk a little bit more about angels, like how God uses them, are they in our world today, how all that takes place, and then each week I'm going to be tackling another one of those primary character groups that are a part of the story. So I think it should be interesting, and I think the research should help expand our own thoughts in regard to all of it as well.
Excellent. Well, looking forward to that. And if you missed last week's conversation with Christopher Yuan, be sure to check it out on CWC.life. You can also access sermon notes, weekly study material, and more great messages to dive into. Have a great week.